We're so glad you're here today. We're so thankful for presence, that when we gather, Ephesians tells us that we are building a temple for which God dwells by his Spirit. And so thank you for joining with us today.
Yes, here we go. As we stand together, we are believing for health overflowing, wisdom manifested, thriving relationships, outrageous generosity, financial freedom, fear conquered, joy unspeakable, hope unshakable, decisions made that will bless my family for years to come, encounters that will strengthen my love with God and people, opportunities to demonstrate the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, for guiding my every step through mountain or valley. Shine on me so that others will see and experience the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Also, if you have an offering, we have the orange Home Depot buckets. You can just put your check or money whenever you want. But if you could just welcome with me our beloved Josh Pilon.
They're good. Check, check, check. Awesome. I normally use the handheld. I'm styling today. That's awesome. Greg, where you at? We have a testimony this morning. You can never miss out on a good testimony. So, Greg, why don't you go ahead and share with us? You said you had something.
This goes clear back to my teen years.
Yes.
My early faith was really centered around my mom. She led me to the Lord, and before I gave my life to the Lord, she would share testimonies of answered prayer, and I'm like, I was religious at the time. I went to a neighborhood church, but I didn't know God answered prayers, and it just blew my mind. She shared this one experience that I haven't thought of for a long time, but every time I do, it just rips me up. I don't remember if it was a worship leader or just someone with a glorious voice, and they're singing in church, and they're worshiping the Lord with their whole heart, and someone nearby is completely tone deaf and making a joyful, loud, tone deaf noise to the Lord. And they're thinking to themselves, how can I worship? And God spoke to their heart and said, I've quieted all my angels to listen to his voice. It blows me away. I've spent my life developing my music skills. And you know what? They're filthy rags without the heart to worship God. It doesn't matter how glorious the worship team could be. If we got four-part harmony and every instrument known to man on that stage, it's nothing without heart. And another word that comes to mind is abandonment. I sure hope that every time you come here, you just abandon your heart to God and you don't worry about anybody. I love it when people are free to come forward and walk around and just do anything. Some people do a prayer march in the back and just be free. And know that God loves the heart worshiping, not some grand skill or perfection. Amen?
Amen. Can you pray that out over us? Okay. That'd be awesome.
Father, thank you for teaching us how to truly worship you and how to love you with abandonment, and even those of us who have musical skills, to put those aside and say, that's not what matters. It's to chase after my God, to pursue my God. And no matter what the sound would be like, if our heart is there, you are so full of joy. And so, Father, we just love every voice in this room that brings praise to you, no matter what the sound, and we declare you are worthy of our praise. Help us to abandon all of our extra thoughts and just to know God's ready to hear my voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, man. That's good. So good. Yes. Totally unplanned, but very much where I feel like we're headed this morning, which is awesome. How awesome was worship this morning? Yeah. And they didn't even play their last song, so we get them back for another one. Isn't that cool? I just want to share a few things that are on my heart this morning. Mike and Jeff asked if I would preach a couple weeks ago, so I've sort of known that this is coming. And I had this idea that I was going to talk about this, Revival is Family. And I have some connections, some awesome connections to family around the United States. Even have some friends in Israel right now at the House of Prayer there, which is beautiful. And so I love getting an opportunity to sort of expose the body here to the borderless expression of Jesus on the earth and what God is doing right now, how available he is right now. Asbury is just a bloop, if you guys have heard of any of that, of what's going on, but the outpouring that took place in Asbury and the decision that they made to hand that off to the church. And it wasn't because they weren't planning to host it there, but it's this incredible gathering that took place that lasted for a couple weeks, day and night, with some hungry Gen Z believer, well, maybe not yet believers in a lot of cases, but they came hungry to a Christian college, Asbury College, and they burned. And that's been a couple months ago, about a month and a half ago is when it wrapped. And the team, I don't know, I'm just telling you this story because I'm now I have to like give some context for it. But what we've seen from this particular outpouring is we've seen this sort of crescendoing effect where the team at Asbury were literally going through the process of figuring out how to host revival, and they felt the Lord arrest them and stop them and invite them to hand revival off to the body of Christ in the United States and to the ends of the earth. So what we're seeing is this incredible thing that happened. And if you're human like me, the first thing is for your heart to be a little sad that they ended it and to wonder what the heck is going on. But can I encourage you with this? The Spirit of God is so available right now to you and to me in a way that doesn't make sense, that we have the privilege to be alive right now. And if you've been around here very much, you've heard me say this before, but you were born for this. Amen. This is the stuff that would make the disciples jealous. And you're here for it. So I want to encourage you that the holiness that is available is something we get to step into, and I believe our greatest privilege as a believer. And I'm not going to talk about that today because I actually feel like the Lord gave me some redirection. I did want to talk about Ephesians chapter 4 because we've been in the book of Ephesians. And Pastor Mike and Jeff and Jennifer has also brought some incredible words around the book of Ephesians. And so I really wanted to talk about Ephesians 13, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And I wanted to talk to you about how the kingdom is being established in the earth, and I wanted to talk about revival. But there's a problem. The problem is that there's still Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 10. And it just so happens that Ephesians 1, 4, 1 through 10, I believe is one of the most radical invitations of our entire lifetime. And I would be a fool to miss it. So instead of talking about what I want to talk about, I really feel like it's time for us to just invest in this invitation that is for you and for me. And so let's do that together. I was telling Mike before service, I don't think I've been more personally invested in a message that I've been preaching from a stage than this one. So grace may be necessary as I navigate and chop my way through this, but I think what we're going to step into this morning will be remarkable. And I pray that I encourage you to step in and to really encounter the presence of God in the way that Jesus paid for. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we thank you for your word, Whew. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. You're amazing. You're so good. Thank you that we're alive right now to experience you in this way. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, I heard a message from a pastor you guys may have heard of. His name is Bill Johnson out of a Bethel Church in Redding, California. I heard this particular message about, probably 10 or 12 years ago, and he was teaching on John chapter 3 about this sort of obscure little passage that we pick up in verse 13. And so this is where I first sort of jumped into this and has been very much part of my experience since I started going to a little church on Main Street called Hope Chapel. And we used to sing a song by a guy whose name is Jake Hamilton. And one of the lyrics from his song is, "I'm not going to wait to go to heaven until I die. I'm going to go right now." What? Theologically, what does that even mean? Well, I hope this morning I can provide some clarity in that area. If you can, if we can throw up John 3, 1 through 13, I'd like to read this to you. This is an awesome encounter with a guy named Nicodemus, who is an awesome teacher and Pharisee in Jesus' time. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that's come from God, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly," so Jesus starts on him right away. I love this. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus says to him, I just want to see his face. If I could be a fly on the wall, this is awesome. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we, I love how he speaks in the plural here. I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" And here's this wild verse that we'll break down just a little bit. Verse 13. "No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man." Okay. Let's break this down just a little bit. This encounter with Nicodemus is awesome. So this guy is a very skilled teacher in the law. He comes to Jesus in the covering of night, meaning he doesn't want his people to see him going and having a conversation with Jesus. But he's in this place where he's like, "Jesus, I've seen your ministry. I've seen what happens when you do what you do. So I know you're from the Lord. Give me instructions. Teach me." Beautiful, beautiful expression of humility, you guys. Jesus takes this opportunity to have a conversation with Nicodemus, and he starts on him immediately, saying what? "Listen, you got to be born again." And Nicodemus is like, "What?" He's like, "Yes, let me explain this. You have to be born again. You have to be born of water and of the Spirit. Water represents salvation, and the Spirit is the Spirit moving on you. Jesus goes on to actually give more clarification to this, saying that the flesh gives birth to flesh, and that the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And Nicodemus's face was probably like this. Okay? And Jesus then says, all right, here's the deal. If I can express to you a spiritual truth that has an earthly parallel and you don't get it, how can I give you a spiritual truth that has no earthly parallel and you get it? How am I supposed to do that? I'm giving you insight and revelation to the kingdom of God, and if I'm giving you something to apply it to that you can understand. If you can't get this, we have a problem. Jesus then follows up with this one specific verse that I'd like to just stop and hang out at for a second. Verse 13, I read that to you. No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Pause. What? Okay. There is so much about this particular passage, and I believe this is the biggest invitation of our lifetime. Let me explain.
I'm sorry.
Not enough, Siri. Not now. Okay, so no one has ascended to heaven except he who has descended from heaven. Stop. Jesus, at this point in the story, has or has not been resurrected yet? Not. No one has ascended to heaven except he who has descended from heaven. What? What is Jesus saying? He's saying he is ascending to heaven. When? In this case, he's been ascending to heaven, and no one has been ascending to heaven except for him. Why is this important? Because this is an invitation for us to step into encounter with God. And I believe what Paul and what we've been going through in the book of Ephesians, I would propose this to you. Paul is actually grappling, pulling for, and trying to give language to this, a passage like this, that Jesus is inviting us to have encounters with him right now. And can I be honest with you? It's just so much easier to take this thought right here and to say, this is what happens after you die. This is just so much easier for me to digest that I'm going to take this thought and I'm just going to apply it to when I get to heaven. Because it's a little complicated. It's not hard, but it's like, is that true? Is that real? I would like to go into some of Ephesians chapter 4 and start to actually pull some of this out, because the word ascending there in verse 13 is also a word that the Apostle Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to that. Starting in 4 verse 1. I want to make sure. Sorry, we're ripping through a couple larger chunks of scripture. You guys can handle it. You guys okay?
Yep.
Okay. Therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you. So Paul's in prison at this point. Urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord and one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, he ascended on high and led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth and descended as one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he may fill all things? Then we get verse 11, and he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every point to which it is equipped, when each part is working properly and makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Dude, Paul's run-on sentences are epic. That's all I have to say. There are so many comments, commas in that. Like, that's crazy. Okay, so I love that. But they're packed, right? So let's unpack a little bit. Verse 1 through 6 is a beautiful picture of people walking in humility and grabbing closely to the bond of peace with one another. That's what we're supposed to spend our time doing. Loving one another. Figuring out peace with one another. Trying not to sit in each other's chairs at church. No, I'm just kidding. Maintain the bond of peace. One of the reasons why I'm so excited about power groups is because it requires relationship. And it means we have to actually put this part of Scripture into practice. We begin to spend time with each other and our lives get close. And some of us have edges, right? And we know we need to spend time. I know I'm not talking about you, you know. Of course not. Of course not. But we need to spend time with people. The only way for us to build our bond together and for us to lean on one another is we actually have to lean on one another. And so I love that we're actually having to put this stuff into practice. But one thing I'd like to add and propose in all of this is the invitation to encounter the love of God. And I want to define what that actually is a little bit. So it's not just you're just encountering the love of God. Sure, Josh. Yes, we are designed to encounter the love of God. I don't disagree with you. But so much of this passage has become doctrine instead of experience. Because this is hard, that we're missing a huge part of what Jesus paid for. Let me read this to you. I love this quote. I'm not supposed to read this yet. It's further down, but it just seems like a good place to drop this in. It's a quote from Bill Johnson. I love this quote. It was from this message that I listened to years ago. Most believers have a greater faith in the return of Christ than they do the power of the gospel. We know Jesus coming back, and when he does, he'll fix everything. Instead of us believing that the power of the gospel that's been given to us fixes everything. Yikes. Come on, we all have a faith that Jesus is going to fix stuff when he comes back. Here's the thing. We have the gospel. And it's no small thing. We get to actually step into a reality. We've been designed to step into a reality that I love worship this morning. And even the words, sometimes they bug me, but I know what they mean. When we ask God to come, y'all, I love that we ask God to come. Because he does. But some of you need to punch in heaven. What do I mean? You were designed. Your DNA whether you choose to accept this mission or not, your DNA positions you to come boldly to the throne, that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is either good doctrine or it's real experience. If you have the ability to actually come before the throne of grace with boldness, and you can step in and encounter his presence, you can actually go to heaven. Sorry, let me say it this way because I want to make sure you grasp what I'm saying. You can actually go to heaven before you die. I realized I probably just tweaked some of your theology, and that's okay. You're welcome to come and have a conversation with Mike or with Jeff about that. In fact, again, I'm going to go back to something that we've already covered in Ephesians chapter 2, which we are seated with him in heavenly places. This is Paul taking what we heard Jesus say in John 3 and beginning to create context for the everyday believer to step into this. I love Mike. I love Jeff. I love myself. I love Jennifer. But as wonderful and as great as we are, we can't do that for you. I can't punch into heaven for you. That's you. You got to make room for you. And when the word says to us that you are seated with him in heavenly places, that means the blood of Jesus has been spilled for you, not just for the salvation of your life, but also for the connection that you have with the Lord. And there's a high call for you to step in. And can I just tell you a cool secret? It isn't a performance thing. You can't come in to the presence of God and try. Jesus already paid for it. So when you punch in for work in heaven, listen, I want to encourage you with this, and I am not trying to like shame you in any way. But stop asking God to come and fill a room. You need to go and access heaven. Put music, let me be practical about this. Put music on. Get the word out. If the word has become dull to you, I promise it's not because the kingdom is dull. It's because our ritual is dull. The kingdom is forever expanding. It doesn't get old and stale. It's new every morning. Date God a little bit. I was talking with Grady about this the other day, about dating God. It's so cheesy and corny. I love it, though. We were talking about, man, why don't you just take God to dinner? And I was like, man, I need to do that. You know, like, I just need to pull a chair out for him. I might get a little crazy and ask if they could pour him a glass of water and throw a lemon in for him. I just need to date God. We need to make room for him. We need to punch in. We've been invited to do so. And the blood of Jesus has paid for it. Okay, everybody understand the whole ascending and descending thing? I don't. No. It's a joy to discover what that looks like. But are you tracking me? Give me a nod if you're tracking with me. At least you understand. Josh is saying right now that I can go to heaven before I die. Let's see the heads. Okay, cool. Awesome. All right. We're tracking. You may not necessarily like 100% there right now, but at least you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. That's awesome. So I want to propose to you, there are two things that Paul points out in Ephesians 4 that work in tandem with one another. One of those is living an ascended life. And let me describe, I wrote this out because I just felt like I wanted to make sure that you had more language and vocabulary, because I need you guys to grab a hold of this. This is super important. If this whole room got this revelation, Lord Jesus, watch out. God has created the ascended lifestyle that Jesus enjoyed, that was purchased by his blood for you. And the purpose of it is that you would experience the fullness of what it means to know God. Go back and read Ephesians 4. It says it in there. the knowledge of the Son. It says knowledge of the Son, that you would step into the fullness of the knowledge of the Son. I love Hebrew text. In this case, it's Greek, but the cool thing is that the principle is the same. Knowledge isn't knowledge. Knowledge is experienced. It wouldn't be enough for me to know my wife that I love her. There is an expression of love that I experience with Tiffany that is absolutely necessary, and it isn't head knowledge love, it's experiential knowledge. Are you tracking me? This is what we've been created for. So when God talks about knowing the fullness of Christ, he's not talking about information. He's talking about encounter. Living aware of who he is important for you to be able to do this thing well. How distracted are you in life? Yo. Stuff, man. I get it. There's lots of stuff. I know there's lots of stuff. There's information everywhere. We are in the information age. We are watching information double and triple at rates in a short period of time that it took dozens of years to actually happen. Thank you, internet. We live distracted lives. We have information at our fingertips 24/7, 365. We are distracted. Yet we see something very different from the life of Jesus. We see an awareness of the presence of the Father around him always, and that is for us. We need that. Which is why this is so important, that we have ascending and descending, living an ascended lifestyle where you know experientially, you experience the fullness of what it means to know God. And it leads to oneness in faith, or unity in faith, according to Scripture. So the grace gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Come on, that's to stir us up to be able to, I said this before, I love this word. I've been saying it a lot more lately. It's an old word. Cackles, the cackles of your heart, you know? The pillars that they would be shaken. I want those things that hold weight in my life, I want them to be shaken. Not because I need them to come down, but because I want it to be real. I want it to be authentic. I want to know that the presence of God is with me. And that's what these grace gifts are for. They're put into place so that leadership in the church can actually help nurture what maturity looks like in the body. Come on. Isn't that cool? It's actually beyond cool, but like we'll just run with that for right now. So cool. Jesus gives the gifts. And I want to encourage you, I'm going to spend so little time talking about this and maybe opening this subject up for us to go into greater detail on. But you have a particular bend, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. You have a particular way, your lenses, that you view the world that sort of connect you to that heart. So if you think for any reason why that you're not, that gift that Jesus paid the price for isn't in you and you have to trust it in somebody else, don't do that, please. God has equipped you and he's given you great leadership too. Come on. How about some of the leaders here? I'm so thankful to get to do life with them, but I'm also thankful to do life with my family. It is a privilege to know you. It is a privilege to do life with you. You guys have to give me grace up here. I know that. And you do. You do it so well. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful how you encourage apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds to equip you guys for ministry. It's beautiful. Go you. But I also want you guys to be able to grab hold of encounters with the Lord. And I really want to make sure that we are not stuck with this whole thing being just great doctrine and not actually encountering the presence of God. Okay. One of my last points. I'm hovering, okay? I'm hovering. I'm circling the airport. I'm ready to land this baby. Revelation chapter 2 talks about the Ephesians, right? What's really kind of interesting about this particular church and about this particular letter by the Apostle Paul is he wrote this incredible letter, and no one else gets a letter like this. All of the other letters are corrective in nature. And what does the church of Ephesus get? What do you give somebody that has everything? In the kingdom, you give them more. What? And that's what the Lord is doing, is he's pouring it on. Ephesians is he's pouring it on. You guys, he's pouring it on. It doesn't make sense, but there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more for us to encounter. There's more of God. Everything that you had hoped or wished was true about the Lord is not only true, but it'll blow your mind. And in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord has this one thing against the Ephesians. Do you remember what it is? They've forsaken their first love. I'd like to propose to you that they were getting the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Sorry, let me put it this way. The structure, the government of the church, they were getting that really well. And what Jesus is actually coming in and giving correction in is, I want you to go back to your first love. I want you to live an ascended lifestyle where you don't ask me to come and bless your stuff. You begin to actually show up in heaven. And you begin to actually co-labor with me. What does that look like? Do I have any intercessors in here that pray and pray and pray? They don't like to raise their hands, I get it, but yeah. Yeah, okay, cool. Awesome. Yeah. That's it. It's praying and worshiping. That's punching in. If you've hung out with me any amount of time, I'm totally in love with the Tabernacle of David, worship and prayer, 33 years of day and night prayer in Israel. We got a template for unbroken connection in the Old Testament that should give us on the New Covenant side a sunburn just to read it. It's so wild, you guys. Come on, the revelation of who Jesus is and what we see him look like through just the Psalms and what they're prophesying about what this Messiah will look like. Oh my gosh, they were getting revelation thousands of years before Jesus walked the earth. This is an invitation for us to step into this. This is the stuff of my lifetime. This subject here, I love having this conversation because this needs to become real. We need more conversations in the lobby about what it looks like to punch in. How can God take your little prayer time, your little yes in the morning, your time, your devotional time, and how can you begin to actually come into a place of abundance instead of a place of lack? Can I tell you right now, that's probably one of the biggest things right now that's going on, is if you are asking the Lord to come and to bless something that you see that lacks, meaning you're asking things from heaven to come to earth, we have a problem. If you were in fact, if you're seated with him in heavenly places, what does this mean? This reality actually means that you are to be praying and releasing the answer from a place of abundance into things that lack, into places that lack. What does that look like for me? I'm just going to give you some practical examples. Are we okay? Are you guys okay? Okay. My kids are in school right now. Schools are crazy. There's all kinds of stuff that's going on. I'm really thankful to live in Idaho. However, that doesn't give me a free pass. So when I pray for our school, I know, I'm aware of, there are things that are going on that my kids are encountering, thought processes, agendas, education that doesn't align with who I am and what education I want them to have, right? So, how do I pray? I turn music on. This is key for me. I'm just trying to give you little cheats, right? So like, okay, how do I punch in? And I start to ask the Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to release in the church? And I start getting things like, I want to release courage to the teachers who believe. I want them to know that I'm with them. I want them to know that I'm partnered with the things that they're doing and the relationships that they have, they matter. I want them to know they matter, and I want them to know their relationships matter. I want them to know that the time that they're spending, even when it doesn't seem like they're received or the things that they bring are not honored, I want them to know that I'm with them. And so I go, Jesus, thank you. God, I thank you for the teachers in our city and in the area, in the region, and to the ends of the earth. I thank you. Father, their energy is not wasted, and I thank you that the kingdom is on their heels and the words that they speak have great value and they move your heart. Release the resources now they need to make impact in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't get into that situation like, oh God, take and strike down the agendas. You know, I didn't get into that place because that's a place of lack. Does it exist? Sure. 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 But we are not to come at it from that angle. We are seated with him in heavenly places. And as kids of the King, we release resources. We release answers. We don't get stuck in problems. You can do this. This is not hard. This does require maybe a shift. I have people all the time, not like all the time, but I've had people say this over the years. You're kind of bossy. I'm like, I'm not bossy. What are you talking about? You boss God around a lot. I don't think that's true. I think that I know his heart. And when he helps me to see things in ways that I don't, then I get to partner with him to release that. I don't think I'm bossy. I don't ask God to heal people. Like, God, please heal people. I release healing. Because I don't need to beg. That's not even humility. That's false humility. That's a version of humility. I hope that example was helpful for you. I am an open resource for you. If you have any questions about this, I want you to walk this out victoriously, and so does Jesus. That's why he paid the highest price. You guys, we're not just waiting for him to come back, for him to make things all better. He wants co-laborers. He wants us to partner. It's always been that. Ever since the garden, it's always been that. It's always been partnership. It's always been doing it together. And sin didn't mess that up. Amazingly enough, sin didn't mess it up. Jesus came and restored it. And he gave us keys. Okay, I'm harping on stuff, and so we're good. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Let's do this. Look at this mighty army. You feel mighty? You're like, that was a good question. I was like, I got some cool faces on that one. You feel mighty? You're mighty. Hey, if the Lord can animate dry bones, come on. You're mighty. The Lord sees you. You matter. Your voice matters. His blood was spilled for you. And he wants to partner and do life with you. And we were made to step into the knowledge, the experiential knowledge of who he is. And that being present with us daily. Who needs that? Who needs to know that God is with you? Come on, how badly do we need to know that God is with us? I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like a ping pong ball. I'm just getting whacked back and forth. I get it. We need to know that the presence of the Lord is so close and so available to us that we can start to walk this thing out and maybe believe something about ourselves that we thought was impossible because he does. Worship team, can we have you come up? I'm sorry. So we've got one song, and we've talked about this a little bit recently. I love this word, experiment. What can we do? I want to encourage you this morning as we go into the last worship song to begin to shift your posture where you're asking God to come into your lack. And I want you to begin to shift, maybe for some of you the first time you've ever done this. But Jesus paid the price for this. And I want you to begin to actually, I want you to punch in to heaven. It isn't a works issue. It doesn't matter what happened this last week. It doesn't matter what's happened, that if you feel backslidden or all of those things. If Jesus has done a work in your life and you know that you are saved, this is for you. If this morning, oh man, I can't miss this. If this morning you don't know that, you don't know if that's you, I just want to pray for you quickly. And I want to encourage you, I'll hang out here. I'd love to pray for you. We saw some cool stuff happen this last week with baptisms, but I'd love to pray for you. So I'm just going to pray this out. And if this is you and you don't know that Jesus has saved you, I don't want to miss this moment. You were made to be part of the family. Come on. So I'm going to pray this out. And you can just repeat after me, or again, you can come up and see me afterwards. But Father, I believe you are real. I believe you sent your Son. I believe that he died on the cross. And I know that I need a Savior. God, come into my life. I surrender. Jesus, your blood was shed for me. Come and change my life forever. And connect me with my purpose and my family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Remember, we're not asking God to come and enter our situation. You're punching in. You are praying from heaven. You're worshiping from heaven. You are in a place of abundance. There is no lack. Stop for a moment. Is there lack in heaven? Is there cancer in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? You have been called to sit in heavenly places. Just like Jesus, just like Paul was encouraging the church of Ephesus, and then everybody who lays eyes on this letter later, you have been called to step in and encounter his presence. So let's worship together. I hope you start to experiment. I encourage you to do that. We love you so dang much. Thank you for coming this morning. We just bless your week. Heaven is on your heels wherever you go. So we bless you in the name of Jesus. Have an amazing week. And stay and connect. Give a hug, a high five. Maybe go to lunch with somebody. But we love you. Have an awesome week. Bye.